I'm Emily Jacobs, and I've never listened to None Taken.
Mexican America.
That's for you.
I like it.
Yeah, I know you're not really from there. You're from
Puerto Rico.
There we go.
Yes.
I'm excited for next week. We're going to do that interview with Hacker and the Fed. I've got so many things for Hector. You muted yourself. I don't know why you keep doing this.
Okay. Do I sound normal now?
Yeah.
Watching Biden do his little speech. It's
already happened?
Yeah, it's happening like right now.
Okay. What's going on?
He's coughing occasionally, which is weird. He seems to be able to put sentences together, though, still, as far as I could tell. He's comparing Hamas and Russia as...
I think I should be recording. He's comparing Russia and Hamas. Wait, what?
Yeah.
Is that helpful?
As both powers that are attempting to destroy the democracy next door kind of thing. I don't know. Yeah, that's what he said. I won't...
That seems like... Like, you don't have to make everything fit inside your agenda. You can just say, like, this is bad, right? Things can just be objectively bad, and that's good enough. You're muted again.
Dude, that's fucking annoying. Yeah, it seems like they're trying to, like, crush a narrative into a space it doesn't really fit into, but I don't know. I haven't seen the whole speech yet, so yeah. Perhaps it all makes sense at the end.
You know, when you start off describing Biden as, how'd you describe him? You'd sound like an old person that still can talk. I guess that's what he is. That's the president.
it's exactly what he is.
So he sounds like an old person that they still let drive, right? Like, you know, when it's nighttime, you know, we don't like him to drive. It's a little bit harder to see. But other than that, you'd be surprised. He's pretty good.
He has the very squinty eyes. I don't even know how he can read the teleprompter.
Is it Brido that said he looks like Jeff Dunham's old man puppet?
Yeah, I think it was.
He was the one that said that first.
Maybe he should wear the Ray-Bans while he's doing press conferences or speeches as well. Maybe it might help. I don't
just
know.
Look like Ray Charles. I mean, there's a part of him that won't look like Ray Charles, but you know. Just like Stevie Wonder.
Stare off into the middle distance with
him. Hey, do you know who thinks Stevie Wonder also, like me, thinks Stevie Wonder can see?
No, I don't think I do.
I've been told
is it
that,
John Ziegler?
I've been told that we'll never get him on the show if I say it on the show, so I'll just have to say... It's someone we talked about in our personal life segment in the last show.
Oh, yeah. I know. Okay.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
we'll get him on the show. We'll get him on the show. Wait, we were talking about Joe Brandon, right?
Yes. Yes, we were.
So if he gets reelected, right? Mm. That means it would be 4 years plus this fifth year plus whatever remainder is, right? So that makes it more than 60 months.
You mean 60 months
if he gets real, like there is potentially another 60 months he needs to survive through and be a functional leader, right?
Is it 60 months? Wouldn't it be like
so 4 years plus this fifth year plus a couple more, right?
Okay, sure.
Right? You recently bought a car, Alan. How long was that loan?
60 months.
Oh, weird. What do you have more confidence in making through that 60-month time period? Joe Biden or your car?
I'm going to go with my car.
No. I don't want...
Oh, God.
Meanwhile, you just have Trump who's never going to die.
keeps jamming cheeseburgers down his throat. And
he's made of preservatives.
Live
that's
forever.
The,
that's
the plan, right? Yeah.
Cholesterol's that's been my plan. The charts.
Yeah, but you know, I don't know. It's no accounting for some people's health, man. The
do
man's
you,
an anomaly.
Do you think he has just like
iron constitution?
A cabinet full of medications he has to take every day.
I don't think so. I think just that British Sudafed to keep him peppy. That's established. Yeah. That's established. People have talked about that. I don't think that's conspiracy. No, I think we've been silly enough. Can I start a fucking clip?
Yeah.
Okay, I give you two choices. I give you aliens or Kobe and Kobe, I guess.
Ooh, I'm going to go aliens.
Aliens, okay.
I'm not sure if it's going to be the aliens I expect or not. But
oh, no, it is.
You think some of these aliens are going to be baddies or what? Oh, I ain't even tripping, dude. I fuck threes. You know what I'm saying? I just know that once I see aliens, I'm getting this John cleaned up by a motherfucking Martian. talking about some bleep bloop, beep beep boop. You know what that mean? Goddamn, I'm trying to get this weenie sucked.
In what?
An alien.
Oh. Y'all let me in this damn house.
Should we hit record?
Yeah, one, two, three.
All right, you ready?
I am ready. Are you recording?
Yes. All right, well, you want to start a show?
Let's start a show.
That podcast is filling your head with garbage.
No offense taken there.
Well, it sounds like none taken.
Boom.
To our Friday Headlines Roundup edition of Not Taken, where every week my good friend Alan comes to me with a sheet of headlines. I try not to read them. I stay informed, I swear to you. We can talk about that stuff, though, because I listen to 13 hours of podcasts a day, and Alan watches 3 hours of cable news, so you don't have to. We're your antidote to mainstream media, but remember, if you miss a little, you miss a lot. That's my favorite new one, but I said the other one too. Anyways, head on over to slickitsdigital.com to help out the people that help us. Head on over to fungiblenuntakens.com or patreon.com/nuntakenpod to join our Patreon, be a part of the show, help us out at 3 different tier levels. But as is tradition, today's Friday, it's the end of the week.
So another Friday is upon us. What'll you be doing, Smithers? Something gay, no doubt.
What?
You know, light-hearted, fancy-free. Mothers, lock up your daughters. Smithers is on the town.
Exactly, sir.
Exactly, sir.
Welcome. Welcome. I didn't give you a chance to say hell yeah, because I slid the slickets into the talking part. I think it fit better. Sounded good there, didn't it?
It's all good.
It's all good.
What is... Hell yeah. What is up, everybody? Welcome to the show. I got the hell yeah in there anyway.
There you go. Your catchphrase. Yeah.
Right.
Don't tell me how you jammed it in. Like, I don't want to hear that.
We made it to Friday again. Another weekend is upon us. Let's have a good time here.
Yeah.
Some headlines.
Yeah.
And shall we get into it?
Yeah, let's get into it. I'm going to close this so that it's not staring at that bleep bloop guy the whole time.
Bleep
the video.
Bleep.
Yeah, that means he's going to get his John cleaned in Alien. In case you didn't understand.
I mean,
I like that he explained it.
He fucks threes.
Yeah, he doesn't care.
It couldn't be worse. All right. All right. First headline, President Biden is set to give an Oval Office address tonight. It's actually happening as we speak.
You're watching it?
It's over now.
Oh, it's over?
Yeah, I think it was like 15 or 20 minutes long, okay. So it's over already.
Was it remarkable?
I only heard like the first 7 or 8 minutes, so I'll – hold back judgment on that until I see the whole thing.
Okay.
But he was covering the Israel-Hamas and Russia-Ukraine wars. He recently returned from Israel, where he said Israel and Egypt agreed to let limited humanitarian aid enter Gaza. So that's a good thing because they don't have any water. They don't have any food. And so Egypt is going to allow some border crossings into Gaza for some humanitarian aid. The next headline is kind of tied to this, but I'll let you read that.
Oh, okay. Sorry, I was looking at my questions. The U.S. indicated while it continues to collect information, its current assessment is that Israel is not responsible for the Gaza hospital blast based on analysis of overhead imagery, intercepts, and open source information. I don't like that. Okay, how do I say this right? I tend to agree. I couldn't be as informed as the intelligence agencies are, but you know, I tend to agree. And even like the surrounding stuff that people use to say that it's Israel's doing, to me kind of bolster that it wasn't, like, cause people trot out, they're like, well, Israel warned that hospital earlier. And that's how that gets said. I saw that in a lot of posts where people are like, Israel warned the hospital earlier. It's like earlier meant like earlier in the week, like part of the, you know, everybody needs to get out evacuation orders. But one of the things that they did hit it with artillery, but not explosive artillery. Is that right? Have you heard that?
That's what I've read.
They'd hit that earlier in the week or near there. So it's not like Israel's free of blame. And I would have zero problem saying, like, look, I mean, here's something. I don't know who did it, but somebody blew up the third oldest Christian church. A church that's over 1600 years old just got blown up in Gaza, destroyed, completely destroyed. Not to mention anybody who was hiding out there, you know, or rather, seeking refuge. So I mean, I'm pretty sure that's going to be Israel's fault. That church blew up, right? I mean, that's my default position.
Likely, they probably
did that. And when this first happened, I was like, it sure seems like Israel blew up this hospital. But then the evidence that came in made me more skeptical of it. And I think it's another good example of, we don't need to be first to report on something, right? Like, you can wait for
the facts to kind of trickle in a little bit more. I agree. I don't think it was the Israeli side that did this. I do think it was a misdirected rocket from the Islamic Jihad movement in Gaza.
But when people say that their rockets aren't big enough for that type of explosion, they're not factoring in the compressed gases in a hospital, right?
Right, and also the previous damage the building sustained.
Yeah, but I mean, when you see the explosion, though, like, that's a huge explosion. It doesn't really match with the rockets. Something
like 500 people killed, I believe, in
that number keeps lowering, not that it's ever going to be a good number.
Right.
But that's another thing that's like, initial reports were like, it's 500, it's going to be thousands. And the hospital is completely destroyed, and the structure is largely there. It's like, okay, maybe I won't listen to you next time. Like, that's, you know.
I mean, it's still a horrific atrocity,
And
whether it was intentional or not, or whether whoever's side did it. It's
Can you remind me why that happened, though? Because Hamas invaded Israel and killed a bunch of innocent people.
Sure.
Right. I'm not saying that justifies it, right? Like, I mean, we covered that enough in the last show, but.
Yeah. Have you seen some of the video that's since been released from, like, body cam footage of Hamas insurgents?
During the invasion? I mean, I've seen the body cam footage at the festival, and I've seen some stuff going through the kibbutzes, but...
Yes. It's pretty harrowing. Just horrific stuff. One of the knock-on effects of the hospital being hit with that rocket attack was that Biden's meeting with Arabic leaders in Jordan was canceled.
You literally heard it here first when I told you on the show.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, that's a pretty big effect, right? Like, it would have been nice for them to have some conversations, and that didn't happen.
Blinken did, though. I mean, Blinken had been going through his parade through both sides, and he's the Secretary of State. I think it's, I mean, arguably you're probably going to have better dialogue through him being there. Like,
that's actually,
what's
fair.
Joe going to do? Come sniff your hair. Like, it's different in this part of the world. Wow. Is that palm oil? Is that palm oil?
Should we pick a winner?
No. Okay, Israel wins no matter what. Israel, Hamas, do you want to say Hamas wins? Does that make you feel better? I think we skip a winner on this first subject. How's that?
Okay,
sound?
Let's do that. Okay. That's fine. All right. The U.S. deployed a second aircraft carrier to the eastern Mediterranean to assist Israel in its war with Hamas and to deter any state or non-state actors seeking
to escalate the war. Headline, right? Like, we kind of covered that in the show because the second carrier was like, I think that was, is this one from Friday?
This one's from Monday.
Okay. Like, we didn't really talk too much on the subject other than sort of mentioning that.
I didn't think we really covered it that much.
What does that, like, why do you, it's a dumb question. Why do you think that's happening? Why do you think there's a second carrier there?
That's kind of what I wanted to wrap my head around. I mean, it seems like, obviously we're flexing our muscles here. We're trying to have a show of force behind Israel and say that we stand with Israel and we're going to do whatever it takes. Obviously, the U.S. doesn't want Iran or other actors to get involved in this war. And there's concern that, Hezbollah might, attack Israel from the other side, things like that. So I guess it's just supposed to be a deterrent, but it just seems like an awfully big show of force for what.
I don't think it's just a show of force. I feel like it's a precautionary measure. You don't want to get them there too late, right? And
it takes time to move those carriers around.
I mean, I remember Croatoan coming on here and I asked him a question about aircraft carriers. And he's like, I think I was asking him how many carriers China has. And he's like, a carrier is just a force multiplier. And like that you can move it to other places. So, I think that I think it gets me anxious because there's a real good chance for a larger Mediterranean war. You know, just short of World War, and having those war machines in that area is probably a better thing to have for our allies and to be in support of our allies. But it, I mean, I largely don't think that I mean, I just don't want us to be involved in this, you know, short of going in and bringing American hostages out. I don't think this needs to be something that we're involved in. Thank fucking God Israel isn't in NATO.
Yeah, I mean, anytime you move an asset like an aircraft carrier on the board into a place like that where there's conflict, there's obviously the potential for escalation, and that's concerning. So I would agree.
Yeah, and we've got, I don't know, is it in here? You got those Iranians in Iraq that launched the drones at U.S. bases, or do you have the Houthis shooting rockets that our ships intercepted? They were heading towards Israel.
You want to read the next headline?
Oh, shit. U.S. No, okay, damn it. U.S. Central Command said that it thwarted three drone attacks against U.S. and coalition. Told you guys I don't read these. Attacks against U.S. and coalition forces in Iraq within 24 hours. One attack caused major injuries. Minor. Whoa, that's not the same thing. One attack caused minor injuries. And about 2,500 U.S. troops are currently stationed in Iraq. Just as like a footnote. Right.
Yeah, so nobody's, I believe as of the airtime, I don't think anybody's taking credit for these attacks, but
they said it was Iran-back militias. I thought it was Shiite militias.
That's the, I think that's the, that's what people are speculating. Okay. I don't think anybody has actually claimed credit for it. But yeah, so they took out these drones. Nobody was seriously injured. It was in two different locations in Iraq. We still have 2,500 troops in Iraq, which honestly, did you know that?
Well, yeah.
Is that? Okay.
Yeah, we have bases, really, don't we?
Yeah, we do have an airbase.
What do you do on the airbase?
You have, fly airplanes.
Okay, that takes personnel, doesn't it?
Yeah, I just forgot, I guess.
Yeah, no, it's fine. Yeah, we're not leaving Iraq. Like, it's, we're going to be there.
Not like Afghanistan. Got it.
Yeah. Yeah. Still right. Don't understand why they left all that equipment there.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense to me either. All right, should we pick a headline here?
Yeah. Fuck, man. The implication of that carrier, I think, seems more daunting, but
I would agree.
Right. I'm honestly shocked, though. Like, Trump keeps saying that all these bad guys are lucky that he's not in power. What do you think would have happened if Trump was in power and those bases got
struck? I think it's like correct. Right.
Anyway, intense. Yeah.
Hard to predict what would happen with Trump in any situation.
A loose cannon.
So I don't know.
Yeah.
However, speaking of Trump, a federal judge issued a narrow gag order in former President Trump's 2020 election subversion trial in Washington, D.C.
It's better than a thick gag, you know, just in terms of mouthfeel, but it still causes the same effect. It's a narrow gag.
Barring statements targeting prosecutors, witnesses, or court staff. Trump's lawyers argued the order violates the free speech of a 2024 presidential candidate.
So, dude, you're running as cover for the laws you broke.
So it would seem, yes.
So I hate that.
So he has come out and said all kinds of stuff about, you know, prosecutors like Jack Smith, people that work in the courthouse, etc. Essentially, the judge said, no, you don't have this free speech right to do that just because you're a candidate in the 2024 election. However, she didn't do what the prosecutors were asking for. She said that he could still say whatever he wanted to about her. He could still say that he felt the prosecution was unfair and politically motivated. He could still talk shit about Mike Pence. He could still talk shit about
Joe Biden. Why do I keep hearing specifically you can talk about Mike Pence? Because he has a deposition that they'll use in it.
I don't know. I think what she was trying to say was these people are fair game because they're in the arena, and these other people who just happen to work for the court and happen to be prosecutors are not.
Okay, I understand.
Yeah, so that's what she kind of said. So not as
was this
as
Judge broad. Cannon? Was this the one that was she?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, it's I can't remember.
It's
her
okay.
Name,
don't
it's
worry about
Cannon.
It.
Yeah. Okay. So not as broad as the prosecutors had asked for, but still pretty significant. What remains to be seen. So she hasn't actually. So essentially, she sort of laid this out verbally, but she hasn't actually given a document that says specifically what's allowed or not. That's supposed to be coming soon.
Okay.
I think what's more interesting is like what happens if he breaks the rules that she set? Like what's she gonna do?
Because Trump always steps over lines.
Right. What's she
You muted yourself. God. Yeah. Will she get like, will it start with fines or will it just go straight to jail? Straight to jail.
I mean, so I would have to assume that it wouldn't go straight to jail and it would start with fines or something like that. But
in Liar Liar, when he's contempt of court, they drag him off to jail. Remember?
Oh,
he goes, I'm Jose Canseco. You remember? You've seen Liar Liar.
Can be put in jail for contempt of court, which is what this would be. I just don't know that. I mean, can you imagine the backlash if she did that? I don't know, man.
Like, maybe you should not violate the rules of the court, just like you shouldn't break laws that get you in front of a judge for a trial.
I would agree with that. I mean, so far since
like,
this gag order has...
fucking backlash, man. Like, you either have laws or you fucking don't.
So since the gag order has been issued, he has not stepped over the line. Yeah. Does he have the self-control to do that?
No.
I don't know. So I don't know. Remains to be seen.
He is exceptionally well skilled at saving his skin at the last moment. And if this falls into that, like I can't do this, he knows how to stay within that. I think,
you know, speaking of saving one's skin, why don't you read the next
episode? Does this have to do with circumcision? I don't want to read a Moyle story.
No, it's
not. Oh, thank God. Okay. Ex-Trump lawyer Sidney Powell pleaded guilty in Georgia, in the Georgia 20. I told you I didn't read these. Ex-Trump lawyer Sidney Powell pleaded guilty in the Georgia 2020 election interference case and will testify after reaching a plea deal with prosecutors. So testify, plea deal. Does this mean like, is this the same as flipping? Is she flipping?
That's what it would certainly appear to be. So she was facing on the RICO count charge. She was facing 20 years in prison. On the other charges, I think there was some additional years. She was in some serious shit. She's 68 years old.
Nice.
If she had been convicted, that's pretty much the rest of her life in jail, essentially. So obviously she chose to save her own skin. She made a deal with the prosecutors and, you know, they asked her directly, you know, said, hey, are you willing to testify, you know, against your co-conspirator? She said, yes. She's always been very like combative and very like, I don't know, maybe combative is just the right word, but she was very like demure in court today.
I didn't expect to see this. Doesn't seem to respond to logic. So no. I wouldn't think that she'd be faced with consequences and make the right decision.
Right.
I would feel like she'd just be like, nope, I'll say no. You didn't finish Better Call Saul, did you?
No, I did not.
Okay, never mind.
With the plea deal, she spends no time in prison. She has to pay a fine, and she's on probation for, I don't know.
And what's his name got a similar one? Not Cheese Dick, but the other guy.
The bail bondsman.
Yeah.
Scott.
Yes. Something. Yeah, the bail bondsman got it. Very similar. So is that the formula? Because as a prosecutor, I would imagine that you would want to sort of telegraph, look at this sweet fucking deal when you turn over the person who is largely the mastermind of this.
I would definitely think so. And just keep in mind, she was in the room when the thing you predicted on this show happened, where where lawyers told Trump that they should try to seize election ballot boxes and election machines and overturn the election. She was in the room when they talked about the fake electors taking the place of the true electors that were going to vote for Biden. So she was there when all that stuff was happening. She was there when Coffee County.
This is so much testimony.
There's so much. She was there.
Keep going. County was when they went and copied
the files from the voting machines.
Basically did do that, but just in the future. Yeah.
Yeah. So like, I mean, she was party to a lot of really scary shit for Trump, I would think. If I were him, I would not be real happy about this today.
No. Do you think he gets nervous? Probably not, right? He's still got that power of positive thinking thing. That's a big thing for him. You know that, right? Like that he's like a big subscriber of that book, The Power of Positive Thinking.
Yeah, I'm aware.
Okay.
This is a big fucking deal, man. I imagine we could see further people flip based on this. I mean, remember the press conference? where Rudy Giuliani was like sweating the black
yeah.
ink
down his, yeah, yeah.
She was standing next to him for that too. They were
that
showing
was
that
at
on
the
TV.
Four Seasons.
I was like, yeah. So she was literally in the center of a lot of this activity.
Oh yeah.
She's got a lot to testify about.
So I wonder, okay, so here's my first, actually my very first thought on this was,
yeah.
Is she going to be considered a credible witness? I feel like people could dismiss her as being a do wackadoo, 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 wackadoo. She said crazy things while she was defending him. And he could just be like, hey, she's insane. I used to trust her. And once I learned I don't anymore.
I think that based on her proximity to the Trump campaign.
Proximity minds at the facility, no odd job.
And the fact that they will certainly have other witnesses that can corroborate the story she's telling. I don't know. I think she might be pretty credible.
Okay.
Realistically. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll see who's next, right?
We shall. Do you want to, what's, who wins here? I think Powell.
What, Powell versus yeah. what?
Trump gag order.
don't I have a guy laughing?
Somebody's singed a kitten.
There we go. That's how I sound.
Paul Harvey.
I don't know. You tell me who won. I don't want to argue.
I think Powell.
You say Powell?
Yeah, I think that's a bigger deal. I think Trump might be able to keep his mouth shut enough to not violate the gag order, but all the shit that Powell's going to say is, you know, it's pretty significant.
It's an awful pretty mouth, though. All right.
Ukraine used long-range U.S.-provided missiles called ATACMS. Is that how you say that?
Yeah.
Striking aircraft and ammo depots in Russia-held areas of Ukraine. The newly provided missile enables Ukraine to strike distant Russian targets.
Deep. So what did they take out? They took out alligators. I don't remember what an alligator is. Do you know what an alligator is?
I don't remember what an alligator is either. All I know
Russian
is it's
alligators.
Like, it's ammo and like parts depots and repair places, things like that.
Oh, it's a K-50. It's a... two-seat, it's a helicopter. It looks like an Apache, kind of.
Oh.
The blades look weird, though.
They're called alligators?
Yeah.
Well, that's fun.
Well, now you know.
Now you know.
So now you know. Okay.
Now you know the rest of the story.
Wait, hold on, though. So that's not going to be the beginning of it. Did you see when Putin was in China and he was like, so Ukraine has ATACMS and, you know, maybe we go back on the ATACMS and maybe America comes and we have blini and what are pancakes in Russian? Blin.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And a tea party. And, you know, we start talking. And like that went all over the internet as apparently they sent the body double over to China for the BRICS meeting because they had like a Belt and Road meeting in China. Is that another headline? Am I spoiling?
It is.
God damn it.
It's like two headlines from now. It's fine.
All right. Well, while he's there, you talk about the headline more. I won't talk about the new Belt and Road stuff because I'm sure you listen to Drum Tower still, right? Did you hear the Drum Tower where they talk about the pivot on Belt and Road?
I don't think I haven't listened to the last few episodes. I kind of got bored with them.
Yeah, I know. They started sort of getting into niche stories and then they were like,
yeah.
And then they were like, by the way, this is going to be a premium only. I'm like, not for this. I ain't paying for a subscription for this. Yeah.
I would pay maybe for checks and balance, but I don't think
not even
that
concerned.
Yeah,
you start to realize the fact that you're paying for The Economist and it's just like, you guys are a fucking racket. I'm not. Yeah.
So there has been a pivot though. I think primarily based on China's economy.
We're not there yet. We'll talk about that on that headline. But Putin was there and he seems to be responsive to the fact that we have long range Ukraine has long range artillery.
Don't say we does.
That is able to strike deep and their air defense systems can't do shit. Like the S-100s are just a bill of fucking lading, right?
It's pretty bill bad. We got to have Kit back on to talk about some of this stuff, but yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
All right.
What else? My turn? I don't know where it is. Can you touch the things? Oh, there it is. Yeah. The White House said that North Korea has delivered more than 1,000 containers of military equipment and munitions to Russia for the war in Ukraine. Yeah, but then he's also looking at that. Putin's looking at that, and then he's looking over at Hamas firing rockets into hospitals by accident and like, oh, do we launch this Korean stuff, see how it shoots, or let alone our old abandoned nuke silos? Like,
Yeah, I mean, maybe North Korean munitions aren't the most reliable. I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't know. But yeah, so North Korea, Kim Jong-un had met with Putin a couple weeks back. We had that on the show, mm-hmm. right? We took his train to Russia. And so part of that meeting was about this. They agreed to exchange munitions for things like food and other things that they needed. So this is just that happening.
And there were like container ships filling up on this stuff that they have satellite images of, I believe, right?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. No specifics of like what exactly is in there. They're just containers of stuff.
Well, you can't get specifics from North Korea. It's the hermitage. Right. You know,
it's probably artillery shells mostly. But,
you say it's LGBT artillery shells?
Probably artillery shells.
That makes more sense.
That would be weird.
It would be.
LGBT. Yeah, that would be strange.
Okay.
All right.
Who wins there? Ukraine with the... I think these attack-ems.
Yeah, I think so too.
Okay. Right, I'm going attacks.
All right. Russian President Putin arrived in China earlier this week on a rare foreign trip amid an outstanding international criminal court warrant for his arrest. He will meet with President Xi Jinping and show support for China's Belt and Road Initiative. So they came together and Russia was like, or Putin was like, we're on board with China doing this Belt and Road thing and investing in infrastructure. In fact, we want them to do it in some of the former Soviet countries too. So that's interesting.
Like Kazakhstan, the Uzbekistan, all the Jennifer Aniston.
And all the stands, yeah. Yes.
You know, Belt and Road is actually referring to something. It's the road is supposed to be like the Silk Road, and the belt is supposed to be shipping routes.
Oh, I didn't think I...
Or maybe the I mean, maybe I got those switched.
But, I knew what the Belt and Road Initiative like what sure, it was generally, sure. but I don't think I knew the symbolism.
And so the early phases were all large infrastructure where they expected to get...
like airports and seaports and things like that.
Yeah.
Rail.
Yeah, in other countries, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And to establish new relations and expand existing ones and just
mostly
gain
in Africa.
Influence. Africa and island countries. Yeah. However, the going forward, they're looking to shift towards more subtle, smaller dollar projects. And some of that has to do with China's economy changing. Some of that has to do with we've done this part. Now we do this part. And that's supposed to be the launch from this kickoff, man. I don't know if I had to bet the last few things China's really tried to do have just fought like their grand reopening. Nobody showed up. Right.
Right.
And I kind of feel like this is going to flop. I think like everything they're talking about works in like a non chaotic globe, but their unlimited friendship with Russia has them tied with people that are sowing chaos around the globe. And like, you know, people don't really want to, people want to hold on to what they got rather than get into these new projects. So do you see what I mean with that?
I do. And also they're not like doing this stuff for free. These countries are indebted to them now. And so a lot of these African countries are facing, you know, bills they can't really pay. So it'll, you know, remains to be seen what Russia will, or I'm sorry, China would do with that. But they have these countries beholden to them at this point, which is, you know, a problem if you're that country with China's heel on your neck, so to speak.
As your creditor, basically, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It would be funny to just be like, no, fuck off, China. We're not paying you. And then they don't do anything.
I think they would just take over the port and be like, it's ours now. That's fuck off. Now.
Yeah. In Mali.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'd kind of like to see China try to do that. See how much influence they gained in the time that they were there. Would they actually
perhaps
be able to hold that? Like, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
The Biden administration placed more restrictions on semiconductor exports to China amid an effort to keep China from accessing advanced microchip technology for national security purposes. Can I ask you a question?
Mm-hmm.
What makes TSMC so special in that space? Is it something proprietary that like the engineers have like on a file within that building or techniques within that building? Or is it access to raw materials? Like, I can't understand how China with all of its ways of getting what they want, can't get that information if it's information.
So I don't think it's access to raw materials. I think it is proprietary technology that enables them to make these super small chips that can just densely pack in these, you know, these semiconductors ever smaller, and their ability to do ever faster calculations,
because
computations.
Because they're in a smaller surface area, so they can compute quicker.
Yeah, they can jam more stuff in there. So these are particularly chips that relate to AI technology, so like graphics cards mostly. So this, we already had a sort of an embargo on selling this stuff to China last year in October. Apparently, they're planning to just sort of redo this annually. So every year, they're going to sort of update the list of what is allowed to be sold to China and what is not. They're even making sure that they can't sell it to like third parties that can then transfer those chips to China.
Yeah. Because that's the game.
That is the game. So, you know, of course, China's saying, well, you know, the US is just trying to hold us down and keep our economy from growing. And the US is saying, no, we just don't want you to have access to this technology that can make you maybe militarily more effective. And so that's sort of ongoing, as we're almost in a cold war with China at this point. Trying to make these international relations work with this sort of stuff happening in the background is very difficult. But I think it's going to continue. I think it makes sense, though, also.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so who wins there?
I think the semiconductor is a better deal.
Yeah, but it's just an escalation of Putin traveling? I mean, he didn't get arrested, but that's not a surprise. He went to China.
He went to China.
Yeah. Okay.
Hey, they didn't take his plane down like on the way.
So yeah, that's weird, right? Because that seems to happen in Russia. I guess he got lucky.
He wasn't
screaming
at Prigozhin. And
yeah. Gorasimov.
Show you.
Shoigu. That was so funny.
All right.
Your turn.
Belgium raised its terror alert to its highest level after a gunman fatally shot two Swedish nationals.
Wearing bright orange. Who is he? Yeah, Elmer Fudd? Was he Dick Cheney? Who the fuck goes around shooting people in orange? I'm assuming Dick Cheney was wearing hunting gear when he shot his friend.
Probably camo, right?
Orange camo.
Before a Euro 2024 qualifying match, Belgian officials believe the attack was inspired by the Islamic State. So they actually, I believe they called the halt to the match that was happening when this happened.
They called a halt to what?
The soccer match was happening. Yeah, they stopped it.
And there's like a qualifying match. Who cares?
In attendance.
Yeah.
So yeah, kind of a scary thing. If you watch,
not if you're American, it's just a Tuesday. Jeez, Belgium's man, get over it.
Oh God. Okay. Actually, I don't have too much else to say about that. Matter. We have a palate cleanser next.
That happens. Oh, okay. The Olympic Committee added 5 sports to the 2028 Olympic Games, including squash, flag football, and cricket. What else? What are the others? It's only 3. They couldn't write 2 more things down. It's fine. Dude, the
flag football and the Olympics.
Yeah, that sounds horrible. Of course they are. That's fucking LA.
I'm going to watch it, though.
Dude, 2028 Olympics in Los Angeles sounds like a fucking nightmare, dude.
Like, imagine the traffic.
No, that's what I'm thinking, because it sucks on Wednesday. Like it's always bad.
It's going to be a total shit show.
I mean, maybe they'll clean up all the homeless people, right? Just go into fucking Skid Row and
yeah. Yeah. Anyways, flag football in the Olympics.
Does that make you feel like that's getting people more accustomed to a weakened NFL, like a more plush NFL? What's it, nerfed NFL? Do you have any concern about that even happening? I hear people complain about that.
I don't really care, but yeah. I do think it's diluting the Olympics generally, if you add sports that are like this. Like, I don't know. Like, this seems kind of cheap.
Imagine being a world champion of flag football.
Right.
Yeah. That's
you're practicing point. All year
that's
to a, play flag.
That's actually, like, if you want to be the best at playing football, you're in the NFL and you beat the other 31 NFL teams. Right. If you want to be the best at flag football, you're a joke. Like, I don't know what you're talking about. Like throwing a shot put as far as you can is a thing that you can say you're the best at the world in. There's no other comparable league where they actually do it better.
Right.
Football. Jesus, more you make me say this. Squash and cricket actually kind of makes sense, right?
Yes,
I was going to be pissed if that dumb one, the pickleballs. I'm surprised they didn't put pickleballs in there.
Yeah. Do you think there'll be like NFL players on these teams?
Dude, no. Jerry Rice should go out there just to dunk on them and be like, this is a fucking joke. I'm 97 and I can fucking beat your ass at flag football.
Fucking Joe Montana.
They should get Randy Moss out there for that, because his whole thing, like, anytime I think of Randy Moss, is just chuck it up there, dog. Like, I'll get it. Like,
yeah, I'll get it.
Can't miss. Yeah, can't miss Moss. God, I thought Randy Moss.
I thought it was a pretty funny.
That's so dumb. God, that is so dumb. There's like an actual competition that determines who is the best at this, and you're just gonna go out there and like, is frisbee in here? Actually, frisbee golf. I mean, not frisbee golf. Ultimate frisbee should be, if it isn't. That seems like a more legit. Yeah, and that's not the same thing as fucking football, which flag football is the practice version.
Could they add like laser tag or paintball?
You know what it is. They wanted. Here's what happened. They wanted to get NFL style football, American football, in there, and nobody was okay with it because of the violence. And then they settled on this, and along the way, they lost the point. And they were like, well, we got our football. This was the kind they let us in. Wait, damn it. Who the fuck cares about this? That's exactly what happened, right?
That's got to be how it happened. Yeah.
Some lobbying group got their objective, and they went to the fucking Hyatt afterwards and rented out a convention room and had a party. You know, we did.
By the way, guys, I haven't heard anybody else talk about this headline anywhere. Yeah. So I don't. This is breaking news on None Taken.
Oh, what?
Flag football in the Olympics.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. God, who cares? I sent you some in other news. We don't have to talk about all of these. I put a lot there just for you to pick through.
Yeah, I put one myself, and I think you put a similar one.
Okay.
This was really interesting. This is from the New York Times. Republican tempers flare as a speaker fight continues, paralyzed.
Speaker fight?
They changed the headline.
Huh.
The headline used to be Jordan reverses himself and will push for a third speaker vote.
That sounds sexual. He reverses himself and will push for a third, and then you get to speaker vote, and I'm like, oh, never mind.
So, as you may or may not recall, Scalise initially was the one that was nominated, and he didn't get the votes, and he decided he would just back out. So Jordan threw his cat back in the
ring. I saw this headline. I put this one in here, didn't I?
No, you put a different one in.
Oh, okay. So what the fuck? So they changed that headline?
Yes, they did. And so so Jordan threw his hat into the ring. He lost the first round of votes. The second round of votes, he lost by even a wider margin.
Because basically people in the first. So on the big show, I had said a bunch of people swore they would never vote for Jim Jordan. And that word got out and they found out who those people were. And they used influencers in the right wing to encourage their listeners or subscribers.
They had like Sean Hannity calling people or something.
And encourage people to like go and call their congressman and say like, I will primary you if you don't just pick Jim Jordan. And because of that, there was a concern that people would elect, you know, this election denier guy that probably didn't commit sexual assault, but he might have covered for it at Ohio State. Just not the one person we should fucking pick. Anyways, because of that, I actually don't remember where I was going with that. Can you fix
what? So
no, I don't mean to, I want you to remind me. I know you're eager to talk, but I'm interrupted. Just because I lost my train of thought doesn't mean you can't just help me and I can finish what I was saying. Now it's two thoughts ago. I'm never going to get it back.
Okay. Well, maybe I'll refresh your memory.
Fine.
So first round, he lost by, I think, 18 votes.
That's right. Second I am going to interrupt you. So in that round, no. So what I described happened before his first vote. Those people all got pressured to say, to go vote for him on the first time. And it appeared going into that, prior to the pressure campaign, that he was going to just die like horribly, like Kamala Harris in the 2020 election primaries. And then because of that campaign, enough people were like, you know, I would probably consider him, because they were afraid that they wouldn't get elected their seats back. So they all went and voted on that first round. He didn't get enough. He wasn't enough to clear him to, I think you have to get to 217, right? And then they have a second vote, and those people are like, I can already tell my constituents I voted for Jim Jordan. I'm not going to do it a second time. You got your chance, and he didn't win. Like, it's so brilliant, and it was so, like, they're so embarrassing.
So the second round, he lost by 22 votes, and it was kind of a strange variety of House members. There were people in centrists, kind of moderate Republicans. There are people at the fringes.
Are you talking about the people that also got votes?
No, I'm talking about the people that didn't vote for Jordan. 22 holdouts. So after he lost that vote, he said he wasn't going to run again. Instead, what they were going to do was try and change the rules so that the pro tem speaker, who is McHenry, would have the ability to actually advance some legislation on the House floor, which he doesn't really have now.
Right. Because so that was we're running out of time to get debt stuff passed. And all that.
But spending the House Republicans, there was a huge backlash to that idea.
Whoa. So in between the time we put this headline in there where he said he's going to run a third time.
Yeah.
There was a.
Well, hold on.
Oh, okay.
So the reason he's going to run a third time is because a bunch of House Republicans were like, fuck that. If we do that, we give more power to the Democrats.
By having a pro tempore?
Yeah. Uh-huh. By giving him more power. Uh-huh. And so, like, no, we don't like that idea either. And so then Jordan's like, well, fuck it. I'll run again then.
Dude, this is fucking joke, man.
It really is. Yeah. So it remains to be seen what will happen as of now. This is the longest time that the House has been without a speaker. Obviously, the first time in history that a speaker has been ousted like McCarthy was. And the Republican House just doesn't seem to be able to get its shit together. And they have such a narrow margin, unless they can, you know, get some Democrats on their side, which, of course, even if that happens, he's going to lose more votes because the whole point is they don't want any compromise with the other side. So that's where we are, folks. That's where we are.
And so wait, are you saying that like if Democrats decide to vote for him, but it's not enough to get him elected in the next round of voting, people will be like, well, now I don't like him. He's been, this is like a baby deer that gets nursed and brought back to the mama. Well, and they're like, no, they won't accept you.
Well, the wing of the party that ousted McCarthy in the first place were really upset about him compromising with Democrats about the government shutdown, et cetera. Right. And so if Jordan does anything to reach out to either side to try and get himself elected speaker, he's going to lose more votes. People that really don't want to see any sort of compromise with the Democratic side.
Okay. And then that's why Republicans are trying to blame the Democrats for not just coming to the middle or whatever, to the right really, and voting with the right, because they think that the Democrats, if they really cared, they would just do that and go with the majority and get somebody done. But what, like, the Democrats have no incentive to work with them because they've
done.
You know what's hilarious is it's sounding more and more like Kevin McCarthy could get his old job back.
I see. I think that he was so upset by what happened. I think he's just middle finger, like, fuck it. Like, you guys fucking implode all you want. That's, you know, hilarious. Like, I don't know. Maybe his ego is enough to make him want to come back, but it took him 15 rounds of to get the speakership in the first place.
Was it 15? Yeah,
I think it was 15 or 16. Right. To get it in the first place, and then for him to get ousted the way he was, I mean, that was pretty disgraceful. I think he's over it.
Not Jim Jordan. Matt Gaetz, he's got to be losing through all of this, right? Like, he's putting a good face on, but like, none of this would have happened if it weren't for Matt Gaetz being a baby. And then he goes and makes videos all the time where he's like, these people are not doing the mature thing and just getting a speaker passed. I swear to God, I have an audio for next week where he says that.
Yeah. You know, I haven't seen polling, but I feel like he's in a pretty safe district in Florida and they're probably eating this shit up. So I think he's going to be fine.
I don't know. People aren't monoliths, man. I think at the end of the day, at some point, people want seriousness out of their representatives. Most people, I should say. Yeah, but most people don't vote. Damn it.
There's a poll. It was Yahoo News and somebody else did a collab poll. And I think it was something like 17% of Americans polled were paying close attention to the speaker issue.
That's not much. That's 83% aren't.
83% very little attention or none attention, no attention at all. So
people don't have time. Americans don't give a fuck. People don't have time, man. It costs too much out there.
I agree.
You got to take care of your kids and eat some dinner and watch 30 Rock, old episodes of 30 Rock, you know?
I mean, you know, that's, you know, America, America.
Yeah. God damn it. There's other shit going on too, you know?
This is true. All right. A couple more headlines here. So Jon Stewart's show on Apple is ending.
I thought the fact that it was, I only saw the headline. This is the New York Times, right?
Right.
All I saw was the creative differences, I think, and it was about AI content and China, which sounds like two issues Apple doesn't want their good name brought in the middle of.
They don't want to touch that with a 10-foot pole. And here's the thing, is we've talked about on the show before, Apple really doesn't give that much of a fuck about its streaming service. I mean, yeah, it's cool, but they don't really need to make money off of it.
They're just doing it because it's a space and they have enough capital to do so. Yep. And if
it's an extra bonus,
right?
For, you know, you buy an iPhone or an iPad, you get the Apple streaming. So, I mean, when you have somebody like Jon Stewart who's going to be talking about controversial topics, you know, the guys at corporate get a little nervous. Mm-hmm. And so I guess they did 2 seasons. I only watched some of the episodes.
I never watched clips.
I watched some of the clips that were on YouTube, but I never, you know, I don't have Apple streaming.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I guess I probably saw clips from time to time. Yeah. That's probably where those were from.
Right, right. But yeah, so they decided to end it. And apparently this happened like overnight. Like they were about to start filming, I believe, the third season soon.
Sure. Like the writer's strike. So wait, is the writer's strike over? Essentially? Yeah.
I believe so. Yeah, yeah. Okay. Yeah. So they just pulled the plug essentially overnight. So yeah.
Wow. Okay. What else you got?
The 5 clones in Argentina's election.
I just brought that up. Yeah, well, okay. I know something about that, and I wonder if they say it in the article.
Okay. So essentially this guy who's running for president in Argentina, Javier Milei, he's a far-right libertarian, and one of his claims to fame is that he had his late dog's DNA stored, and after the dog passed, he had clones made of it.
Aren't they like mastiffs?
Yes, mastiffs. And I guess you never know like exactly how many of the clones you're going to have. It's just sort of, you can't predict the dog's litter size. So he ended up with 5 clones of his old dog.
Didn't the queen have a bunch of cloned corgs, or was that just a rumor?
I don't remember hearing that.
I think she had cloned corgis, yeah. And come on, give me the lady, the singing lady. Barbara Streisand, doesn't she have cloned dogs?
I think Oprah does also.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So there's a company in Hawaii that does this. Essentially what they do is they take the DNA and then they take an egg from a
chicken. No, from a frog.
From a dog.
Frog DNA. From the Jurassic Park? Dino DNA. I've seen it.
They take an egg from a dog.
Yeah.
They take out all the DNA information. They put in the DNA information from the dog that's since passed. And then they insert that into a
block of amber,
a surrogate to carry it.
Okay.
And then they have the babies, and there you go. You got a clone of your dog. I guess it costs like $50,000 to have that done. I think it's like $5,000 to have the DNA captured, and then $50,000 to have it used to make a clone.
Wow.
So
you think it'd be like all in one? Who's spending $5,000 to keep the DNA and not busting out a clone?
Right. Yeah. I know. Yeah. Yeah.
Did they get into the names of the dogs?
They did. I know one of them is named after the original dog.
All five dogs are named after libertarian philosopher or Austrian.
Oh, right.
Austrian.
Yeah. Economist. It's Rothbard and
like Ludwig von Mises. Hayek, I think. Yeah.
Robert Lucas Milton Friedman and Murray Rothbard.
Nice. Nice.
Yeah.
That's too bad. There should be some Hayek in there. I like Hayek a lot.
That guy has some
Hayek.
No, this politician has some interesting.
Yeah, it's certainly interesting coming from Argentina, right? Like, I hesitate to say this because he gives me like when you see these populist type guys come up like that, I don't like his opinions on like abortion and
I was just gonna say that.
Yeah, there's a lot of things I'm not a fan of with his, but it does give me hope that maybe that world isn't necessarily as stuck in on the path that it's been on, right? Because all that inflation has been happening because of monetary policy, and if they could maybe enact some steps that would correct that, I think that, you know, I mean, I certainly believe that Austrian economics is the correct way to. I mean, he wants to abolish central banks, and
he wants to adopt the U.S. currency as their currency.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's leading in the polls, however, not by enough of a margin to avoid a runoff.
Right.
So what's probably going to happen is there will be a runoff election between him and the nearest.
Okay. I think I'd like to see him win to see what happens, but that's a horrible thing to impose on a group of people just out of my curiosity. He doesn't strike me as like a Duterte and a Bolsonaro, you know. And he doesn't strike me as a what's the helicopter guy's name in Chile?
Yeah.
God damn it! Just bad brains this afternoon.
Yeah.
Not Pachinko. Pinochet. There we go. That was
Pinochet.
Close.
Yes. Go. Hey, we got there. yeah. So I don't know. He's a bit out there for sure, but we'll see what happens with that.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. One guy's out there is another guy's reasonable. So
sure. Okay. Sure.
I'm another guy.
All right. We're going to do one more headline. I think I'm going to skip that. We already talked about Sidney Powell, so I think we're good there. This last one. So lawmakers demand answers from Bezos about election misinformation on Alexa.
So I thought this was interesting because of the source. What literary publication of note did this come from?
The Washington Post.
Oh, who owns the Washington Post?
Jeff Bezos.
Okay, go on. Well, I didn't read it because I don't subscribe. I don't take the Washington. I had my birthday dinner, my uncle said, I take the LA Times. And I was like, are you saying that because I say that? Because it's old-timey and funny? He's like, I don't think that's old-timey. I'm like, that's right. You're my oldest uncle.
That's funny.
Yeah, so he takes newspapers and you take the Washington Post. So I thought you could
read
this.
I take the Washington Post and the New York Times. Okay. Yes. So apparently if you asked Alexa whether the election in 2020 was stolen, there was a chance that it might say there was a massive amount of election fraud, citing Rumble, a video streaming service favored by conservatives.
Rumble. Silly goose.
Oh, Rumble. Sorry. Rumble. Yeah. So lawmakers sent a letter to Bezos saying, hey, what are you going to do to combat misinformation on Alexa in 2024? Amazon has so far declined to comment on the letter. As you note, the Post is owned by Bezos, so that's kind of weird. And they do actually have to have like their disclaimer in the article saying that. It's the same thing as with these AIs that sort of hallucinate, right? They access whatever random data on the internet and they don't know. Like, that's just, okay, this seems like what the answer to that question is. And so they spit it out. And that's how you end up with all this random crazy shit, like an AI telling a New York Times journalist that he should divorce his wife because, you know, they love him. I mean, it's just crazy shit.
Yeah, I mean, I'm glad that stuff happens because I think it tempered a lot of our interest in that way. Did you see, like, month over month, ChatGPT use keeps declining?
Oh, I didn't see that. Yeah. No, that doesn't surprise me. No. I haven't used it in forever.
Yeah, it's like, that's fun.
Like, I got bored of it. Yeah.
It won't say all the dirty things I try to ask it to say. I'm like, all right, well.
And also, like, when I would ask it questions, a lot of times it would be so cookie cutter that I would actually prefer a Google search
than
ChatGPT. Yep. It seemed more relevant.
Right. Like you could scan through and find things better.
Right.
And that's also rewarding. Like, you know, we like to look for stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Agree. All right. Well, should we do this tournament?
So we got the aircraft carrier in the Eastern Mediterranean. We've got Sidney Powell. I think those are going head to head. So...
Wow.
I think that the aircraft carrier, we already had one, so this is just another one. It's no big deal. Right. Let's go Sidney Powell.
Let's go Sidney Powell.
Okay.
I mean, World War III is out there anyway.
It's so already on
one aircraft carrier isn't going to change that.
Speaking of World War III, ATACMS were used and we didn't get nuked. So fuck off, Putin. Like, Jesus. You know, that's funny. Like, when you look at like the history of nuclear proliferation and non-proliferation, it doesn't, other than like the greatest example is Ukraine gave up their weapons and then they got invaded, which is not an argument for non-proliferation.
It's not at all.
But like, you know, Israel got nukes, presumably, and largely nothing changed. I think the 7 Days War happened after they were believed to have nukes and they didn't use them. Russia had nukes when they lost in Afghanistan, right? The U.S. definitely had nukes when we got our balls beat off in Vietnam. Like, it happens. We've had nukes the whole time we were at war with Iraq and Afghanistan. And nobody ever was like, George Bush is going to fuck. I mean, as much as I was paranoid of George Bush as president, nobody was like, he's going to fucking nuke Iraq.
Yeah, nobody really said that.
It didn't happen once. I mean, of course, the whole reason we're going there is to try to stop the nukes, you know. But
the yellow cake,
though. I think, like, in this moment, I mean, the thing is, you know, when you're wrong on this, the consequences are bad. But I think it's good to remember that people...
It's an understatement.
You know, nobody wants to be using these things. Except for Truman. Truman seemed to really want to. I think in like June of 45, the Manhattan Project was already... they'd already notified everybody of what was what, you know? And... The suggestion was we'll bring all the leaders of every country onto like an aircraft carrier and we'll do a demonstration in the middle of the Pacific, and we'll tell them, like, we have this, nobody has this, let's not do this. And I think, like, the Johnson administration was like, it's going to be tough to get everybody on one spot like that. Everybody's got complex schedules. Let's just nuke Japan twice.
Right. Also, what if it doesn't work? I think that was part of the consideration
as
well.
That's true, too. Yeah.
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 Because they didn't know.
Yeah, sure. So. We could drop a dud on Hiroshima. You know, it's no big deal. You know?
Right. But boy, the egg on our face if we bring all the world leaders.
I kind of undermined the first part of what I was saying about how I don't really think that Putin really wants that smoke, though. Because, again, I mean, then you pack other stuff into that, like, analysis, right? Calculus, whatever. Like, they all have friends in Western countries. Like, especially those people, they know people literally in every country that they would be bombing.
They have yachts in other countries. Yeah, yeah. They don't want to nuke your own yacht.
I don't think they're doing this. Not so that they can save losing in Ukraine. Like, oh, darn, we don't have the place we didn't fucking have before this started in the first place. Like, let's just go back to not blowing up the planet together.
Yeah,
it's just that's easy to say, right?
Yeah, and the most dangerous thing is a wounded animal. Like it's impossible to predict what somebody like Putin might do given circumstance X. Like, I just don't know.
Yeah, I was gonna say you rarely see like a country choose to do really outlandish decisions like go to war or stuff like that because they're in a really prosperous, great state. It's usually like people are fed up. There's some demand. And then I was like, oh, we just talked about Iraq. Never mind. It's like everything was going pretty good. Like,
it wasn't bad.
9/11 was kind of in the rear view. We had a .com thing, but, you know, everything was settling down. We were doing pretty good. We're making money. But yeah, but we could make some more money at Raytheon.
I have something in my media diet that will tie into that.
Oh, okay. What have you been watching? Let's do that.
Wait, we didn't finish the tournament, did we?
Oh, no. Sorry.
Okay. Wait.
Attackums and I can't read my handwriting. Shocker.
Trying to find Attackums. Oh, North Korea delivering 1,000 containers of military equipment?
No, it was Belgium. Belgium?
Hmm. Okay. Well, then this I think Attackums falling is apart. A bigger deal.
All right. So Attackums versus Powell. Let's go Attackums. I think that, we didn't talk about Ukraine a lot this week. And I'm not going to get on here and talk like Julian Anthro, like everything's going great for Ukraine, but Russia is doing some straight up human wave tactics and losing a lot of equipment and personnel in a town that they never even held since 2014. I don't know if they're trying to turn this into another Bakhmut where they just wear down Ukraine's remaining defense systems, but Russia seems to be losing a lot while we're kind of focusing over here on what's happening with Hamas and Israel. Have you seen any of that?
I have, and I would agree that
I think they crossed the Dnieper.
Mm-hmm.
Ukraine did.
Yeah, they did. So yeah, and they're definitely, I would say they have the momentum right now.
Do they?
But it's still very touch and go. Ukraine's lost a lot of people and assets as well.
And that is Russia's strategy at this point, is to lay back, let Ukraine attack them, and just keep killing them one at a time. I mean, these conscripts they have coming out of Ukraine, like people are, you know, that skinny kid that was in all the Not Another Teen movies and Euro Trip and stuff like that.
Yes.
They all look like him.
They kind of do. I never thought of that.
It's terrifying. Like for them, it's terrifying.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. All right. So we get into media diet.
Yeah.
All right. So I started a book called Reign of Terror, How the 9/11 Era Destabilized America and Produced Trump.
Who's it by?
By Spencer Ackerman. It came out in 2021. I heard somebody talking about it on a podcast this week. I figured I'd check it out. I'm like four chapters in. It's very good. It's very interesting. He takes he basically is going on a timeline. So he takes a certain.
So it is in order?
It's in order. Yeah. Man. So it'll be like from 2000 to 2003. And then from, he takes them in chunks.
I like that. When I was listening to that book on the history of the steppe people, they were like doing regions and going through time and then going to other regions through time. And you'd have to remember things. It was actually really good at retention because I'd keep drawing back on previous memories and not like forgetting where it was way back there if it's done in order. But I think different stories require different narrative structures. This, I think, would be best told in order.
I very much like it so far. There's so much detail. I mean, we lived through that.
And, yeah.
You know, we were paying attention, but there's so many things you forget.
Right. Reign of Terror.
Just hearing it in order Like, you know, this led to that, led to this, led to that.
Because you don't always remember, like, you get upset when things happen, but then when the next thing happens, you don't always remember it's a consequence of the prior
thing. You don't connect the dots necessarily. Yeah. And that's what he does in this book, is just connect the dots. I mean, he goes all the way, he talks about, remember the Swift Boat veterans or whatever?
Swift Boat veterans for truth. Yeah, about John Kerry, saying John Kerry was full of shit. He was a bad leader or something like that.
I completely forgot about that. No, that was in,
they were
like,
they were a 501c3 or something.
Yeah, some sort of nonprofit.
That was a big thing too. 501c's were a huge thing in the 2004 election.
Yeah, it was a big deal. Anyway, so he just goes through the whole timeline. I'm really enjoying it so far. I will give you a final review when I finish it, which should be pretty soon.
How long is it? How many hours? Roughly
13, 14 hours.
Oh, that's
I think.
Pretty cool. Oh, you put some time into it, huh?
I have. Yeah.
Nice. How's the narrator?
So it's the author reading his own book.
How's his voice?
I'll be honest, most Audible books, I prefer it
a professional.
I like a professional voice actor.
It depends, right? Like some books, it's like, okay, the author knows the inflection they want. If the author has a good voice, they need to do
like
it. Like
Sam Harris, I'm fine if he's reading his own book.
Brito better do his voice for his book.
Yes,
like
absolutely.
Somebody else, it'd be like someone else telling his jokes, you know?
Right. So I... It's not my favorite, but it's not annoying either. It's okay. It's just not great.
Is he nasally and high pitched at all? Or
no, okay. That's just good. He doesn't have quite the gravitas that you.
Yeah, he's just
normally.
He's just not a pro.
Right.
And that's not. He's a writer. You know.
He's a writer.
Yeah.
But the story makes up for it.
Lacking
in the voice.
So. That may bug you, but not. It's not distracting constantly.
No.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. A bad narrator can blow a book. I've had books. I was like, hell yeah, I can't wait to listen to this. And I'm started. I'm like, I can't, dude.
Can't do it.
Yeah. I had one where the guy sounded like the In a World guy the whole time. And I'm like, I can't like take this seriously.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Certain tones of voice, I, for whatever reason, just tune out.
Mm-hmm,
like I'm
too.
Trying
oh,
to pay
my God.
Attention.
And I'm usually listening while I'm driving. And it's like, you are making me sleepy, buddy.
Yeah.
That book about the economic weapon, about the history of sanctions post-World War I, that was like, first of all, the subject was very boring. And it was a narrator like that. I was like, I can't listen to this while I'm driving.
Can't do it.
Like, no, that took me forever to read. And it was like 17 hours. It was fucking horrible. I have been watching 30 Rock because I'm running out of sitcoms. Listeners, please, I need your sitcom advice. Please DM me your sitcom advice. I'm looking for new ones to watch. I got to say, I only saw probably like a third of the, maybe even a quarter of the episodes of 30 Rock. It wasn't something I watched regularly, but I always liked every episode I'd watch. So when we saw it, scrolling through Hulu, we're like, we can rewatch that. And it's great. It still delivers. There's fun things. And you know, when you talk about not realizing certain context of stuff in the war on terror and our lifetime, though, things that exist in our lifetime, 30 Rock started in like 2006 or something like that. One of the early episodes, Jack Donaghy, what's his name? Alec Baldwin. Alec Baldwin, who's the head of NBC in the show.
He shot the director.
Yes. So his character is the head of NBC or television at NBC, and the show 30 Rock, for if you've lived in a cave, it's basically like a Saturday Night Live type show, and the TV show takes place around that.
It's like a behind the scenes
and of the writer's room and stuff, sort of like a Larry Sanders show. The Jack Donaghy, their boss. And the joke is that NBC is owned by like Universal and GE. So it's all like in his office, he has a giant photo of a Trivection oven because it's an oven. And the joke was it does regular heating, convection heating, and also microwave heating. It's a Trivection oven. You know what's hilarious about that? That was a joke. That's called called a Turbo Chef oven, and I work on them, and I hate them.
That's
they have giant capacitors, and they hurt if you touch them.
I might revisit that. I haven't seen all of them either. I've definitely watched some here and there, but not all of them.
So when you get in there, and it's dealing with things of 2006 and like Bush being president, Jack Donaghy is dating Condoleezza Rice, and he's afraid that she's cheating on him with Putin.
Now that's a hell of a story.
That fucking stopped me in my track. I was like, I am writing this down, and apparently my media diet is I watch 30 Rock. That's kind of all I have. We don't need to talk about watching 30 Rock.
There's a new show that just dropped on Netflix. It's called Bodies that I'm kind of excited to watch. It's like a sci-fi police.
Oh, I think I told Natasha I wanted to see it. Okay, if you watch it, let me know.
Yeah, I'm going to. I saw the trailer. It looks really interesting. It bounces around between timelines. I love period pieces. So
yeah,
I'm looking
period
forward
pieces.
To
yeah.
Yeah. So I'm looking forward to watching. I
don't like period pieces.
No.
No. Too messy.
I see what you're trying to do.
It's gross. I'm sorry. We're gonna lose listeners with that one. Let's just move on.
Okay.
I think we need to go back to our couches.
Let's do it.
All right. Couches. Which one should I pick?
Couch session.
I don't know. Is it like an audition? Is that what you're talking about?
As long as Weinstein.
No. Okay. Well, what about someone with a video camera? That's more of what I was thinking, Alan.
Oh, I see what you mean.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes.
Okay. I have for you. Dalton Dennis.
Okay.
Troy Carter.
Okay.
Or Lilia Penn. Dalton Dennis. Troy Carter. Lilia Penn. You spelled everything right too.
Oh, nice.
Maybe not. I won't tell you which one you spelled wrong.
Dalton Dennis. Troy.
I should check which is the couch, by the way, because last week I fucked this up.
Wait, so is it one couch or?
There is only one sofa hidden here. Two of these.
Got it.
Wait.
Are
no, no. Two of these are. God damn. There's four couches in there and one congressman. I can never keep this game straight in my head.
Okay. All right.
So what's your objective? And because this isn't fair for the listeners, they got to be able to play along. Which of those names sounds like an actual congressman? Two of those names I gave you are two couches pushed
together.
Couches. Yes.
Right.
Pushed together to make a sectional.
Wow. Joke. I'm going to say that Lilia Penn is couches. So it's between Troy Carter and Dalton Dennis. Carter, Dalton. I'm going to say Dalton Dennis is the congressperson.
Oh, buddy. You're just having a rough time. Yeah.
Damn it.
You want to give it another guess? Does that leave you with Troy Carter, or would you like to revisit your initial discarded? This is like that goat show game where they have three doors with two goats, and if you get to guess again, you're like more likely to be right. What's that? There's something about that like hurts my brain. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Behind door number one.
Then people say that there's like a statistical trick in there that like that's an example of how humans don't understand statistics. And I am humans when they explain that to me. I never get it. Do you know what I'm talking about? Can you explain it?
I can't
Not
explain
on the
it,
spot, right? You're familiar with what I'm talking about? Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So I guess I'm going to say that. Wow.
It'd be really funny to watch you lose twice. That's why I'm letting you do this.
Right. I know. Okay. All right. So I'm going to say Lila Penn is the congressperson.
No.
God damn it. It was Troy Carter.
Yeah. Sounds like two sofas, doesn't it? Especially from like a fancy place. You'd call your sofa Troy
does.
Or a Carter.
It definitely does.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure I've seen Carter as a sofa. Yeah. But I'm certain that's on my congressman list. I'd show you, but you'd probably screenshot it from the video and cheat. Yeah. Oh, do you remember on the big show when I said dog couples, lesbians, and I didn't understand?
Yes.
We always hear about gay dogs and it's like two dogs that hump each other. Like gay boy dogs, you know. You never hear about lesbian dogs, just like, you know, what that tongue do. You know what I mean? Sorry. I'm not going to end the show there. I have more questions to ask. I was just trying to correct something I didn't complete on the last show. But
it's a fair observation.
That seemed to hit better than I thought. You know, a good showman would recognize the opportunity to draw this to a conclusion. Let's see what I do with the rest of my time. I wanted to do this as trivia to start the show, but I just kind of liked our little jib jab at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Today, October 19th, marks the anniversary of the end of the American Revolution. So it's not the signing of the Treaty of Paris, but after the siege of Yorktown, as is tradition, the sword of the vanquished was given to the victor. So who gave their sword to whom? Am I doing whom right there? Whom?
Robert E. Lee.
I'm going to remind you, this is the American Revolution.
Oh, wait. Okay. I'm thinking Civil War.
I said Georgetown, not Appomattox Courthouse.
Right.
Yes.
I don't know why I was.
Thank you for letting me flex on my Appomattox Courthouse, though. That was
very nice. Yeah. Very nice.
Looks like a Potomac, by the way, but I'm, you know.
It'd be like some British naval officer gave it to George Washington.
You would think, right? Okay, yeah. So the reason I asked was not for you to be right and tell me something, because I think that's a little bit tough to pull.
That is, yeah.
So you didn't have to be specific. You're kind of right. So traditionally, the losing general gives his sword to the winning general. Mm-hmm. And in this case, the losing general, Lord Cornwallis.
Right.
He was all butthurt about this, and he said he had an illness and couldn't attend. So he sent his
he called in sick
yeah,
for
yeah,
ceremony.
For,
okay,
for, right. for being a loser. Yeah.
Right,
fucking
right.
Brits. So he sent in his second in command or whatever, Charles O'Hara. Charles O'Hara, not wanting to admit that they lost to their colonies, gave his sword to Rochambeau, the French general, who largely helped the U.S. win. The Rochambeau,
is that where the game came from?
Alan, if you want to look up things about Rochambeau while I'm talking, please feel free to do so. But if that's your takeaway, is Rochambeau, I need you to be paying attention while you type then. So follow me here. Cornwallis didn't want to go. He sent his second in command. His second in command said, I'm not going to give my sword to George Washington. I'm going to give him to the person we think is the real general that won this. Rochambeau says, no, back in line. Go back there to George Washington. That's clearly his. George Washington now says, actually, I refuse to take that sword from you. You can, however, give it to my second in command, Benjamin Lincoln. What is there, like, five names in American lore? Like, like when you read like the history of the Punic Wars, you're like, is everybody in Carthage named Hasdrubal and what's the big one? Hannibal. Like, they're all just the same three names. That's apparently here.
It was easier.
Yeah, it was easier. Did you find anything about the history of Rochambeau?
It just says that it's another name for the game of rock, paper, scissors.
I know that.
Yeah.
We're not. No, we're not. I don't care. Can I have you sully the good name
of Rochambeau?
Yes. Yeah. That was it. Yeah, that was the whole thing. I should have ended the show earlier.
You know what?
What?
Yeah. Sometimes they end like this.
Yeah. Well, no, we can end like this. I've been eating burrito tacos more lately.
Mm, yeah.
They're just like fried taco shells or something, right? Like it's not that special. I mean, I like them, but I used to think it was like super unique. I got to say, Jack's tacos kind of remind me. How about I say it this way? Burrito tacos kind of remind me of Jack in the Box tacos.
No.
Why?
You're getting bad birria tacos then.
That's well, also true. Fried. That's also true. That's also true.
Because they're deep fried, right?
I don't know. I don't know how you make a birria taco.
No, Jack's tacos are.
Oh, that's why. Fried. Yeah. Yeah. I think they're
yeah. Dude, I love a good birria taco. But do you get the quesabirria?
Yes. Yes. That's okay, when it stands out. Oh, my God.
Yes.
Next time you come here and we go to Chopper, that truck outside has quesabirria tacos.
Hell love yeah. It.
Yes. All right. All right. Well,
hey, I got my catchphrase in.
Hell yeah!
Hell yeah!
Okay, I'm tempted to try one more of these, but I think I'll just call it a day. Talk to you next Tuesday, buddy. See you next Tuesday.
Next Tuesday.
It's cunt themed. Get it? Drive safe.
I meant that.
When a guy's banging you,
y'all let me in his damn house.
Oh, how about that?
Come in the name of peace.
LMFAO.
So what in the world is this?
Is Kevin McCarthy a moron, and if so, why?
Why would you say something that stupid?
I come without explanations or solutions.
I'm a very sexy lady.
Cat turd.
I will not suffer this harlot.
How great, an anti-American Marxist.
Ted Cruz, go fuck yourself.
Read the news.
China is asshole.
God bless the United States.
Now this is podcasting.